verses
on the parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe turn it down a little bit. Thank you. Is that better? Yeah. Thank you. So the first question is, what's a parables? What's a parables? What's the meaning of parables? Anyone? Brothers? What's that? Okay, so parables to help you understand concept. Is that right? Is that right? Is that right? Brothers, help them out. Right? If the help, who he does not want to understand. Right? You guys read Matthew 13 this morning, right? Remember? And then the disciple asked him, why parable? Look at chapter 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parable because seeing they did not see, and hearing they did not hear, nor they understand. Why? Because he say here that the reason he speak in parable, because he wants to speak the mystery of the kingdom. Actually, the word parable is something is like, right? Something is like. So the is like, right? So that is parable. Actually, parable is very difficult to inside of us. If you read the parable, the meanings would come out very different. Hi, Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of chapter 13. And it is, why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11. He asked them, because it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Why do you speak to them in parables? So our Lord Jesus Christ said, for you, this means you are the chosen one. You are the disciples. Truly worshipful of Jesus Christ, understand it. So, Jesus Christ, meanings behind it. And most denominations, actually, when they read all these parables, of course, try to mainstream everything, right? In the sense that they interpret the parables according to the mainstream thinking. But for us, we interpret so the first question is, so all of you in Matthew 13, right? Half an hour. The parables, didn't you count how many parables? How many? Okay.
Six, seven, eight, I don't know. 25. How many parables?
Brothers, sister say six. Anybody else agree with sister?
Yes, Matthew 13. Anyone else say six?
Sister, how many you say? What's that?
Eight.
Okay, sister say eight. Anybody else? Brothers,
seven. So all the brothers say seven. Four sisters, how many?
Same church.
When you read the Bible, we have the same conclusion.
The one sister says six, and we have seven, and we have eight. Oh no, we have seven, and we have eight.
So let's go one by one. What was the first parable that Lucas Christ spoke?
sower, right? The parable of the sower. Of the tears and the weed and the tears.
Right, second, right? And the third, the
pair of the mustard seed, right? Fourth, that? Leaven, right? Pair of the leaven.
Right. Fifth, the pit.
Yes, the pair of the hidden treasure, right? Six, what's that? Which one is the eight? Seven. Which one is the eight?
Yes.
Can you repeat again? Yes. Right? The householder, right? Look at verse 52. Then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like, right? This is a parable. It's like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Actually, this is one of the most important parables of these eight parables. So there's eight parables all together, right? Quite often, we always like the number seven because
number seven is always complete,
right?
So when you read things, you say, oh, seven, that's a complete number, right? But here is eight parables.
And is
eight parables pertaining to
what?
What are these eight parables pertaining to?
Yeah. So all eight parables, right? All eight
parables are pertaining
to the kingdom. And what? That's another thing that we need to know before we can go into the parables, right? What is the kingdom of heaven? What's that? The church. What's the third one? This the thing to pertain to kingdom
of heaven.
Kingdom of heaven is the church. And what is the definition of church? So when you think about church, don't think church is... How many denominations nowadays in the world? How many? Huh? Well, guess how many. Give me a number, sister. Sarah. Oh, how many? Give me a number. How do you think how many denominations out there? Yes, 1,000.
Over 1,000 denominations, right? So what is the
definition of church? Give me a verse that tell us the definition of
church. The Bible.
Anyone? Definition of a church. The definition? Definition?
Church.
You guys learned this before, right? What's that?
Sarah?
The yeah. So what is... Okay. Yes, sister.
Acts. Yes. Okay, open to this. This is the definition of church. Acts 20, verse 28. Sister, can you read that out loud, please?
Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with your own blood.
Yes. So, the church of God. When you're talking about church,
you talk about those who can be redeemed
by the blood of Jesus Christ. And how did he redeem it? Through baptism. So if the definition of church is wrong, the church inside our heart is also wrong. Because
our heart, not everyone out of this heart, is redeemed.
Only those who can purchase by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's you and I. Because you and I have been baptized. It's also eternal,
right? It's in a heavenly kingdom. Actually,
if you want to
be more accurate, when you talk about heaven in the Bible, it's always talking about the church. But when you talk
about
heaven,
right? You're talking about eternal. So,
when it describes when we die, right? The Bible says when we die, where do we go? Right? The Bible says when we die, where do we go?
He went to paradise, right? Didn't he? Did Paul went to paradise? Right? And then he described, what is this paradise? And now paradise. Another word for paradise. The third heaven
is also paradise.
But when we die, after we are judged, and after we receive glory, do we stay in paradise? No. Where do we go? What is that? Not heaven. Actually, the third
heaven is the highest.
See, when the Bible talks about heavens,
we talk about our church.
Here, the kingdom of heaven is talking about the church, man. But this church is also. We die after we receive judgment,
after we
receive God's
glory,
we go to eternal life. Then those who die without Christ, where do they go? Where do they go?
Hades,
right? Then after they judge, then they, after they receive
where do they go? Later. It's more severe, right? And eternal life is more.
Imagine.
So here we talk about the parable of
Jesus Christ in Matthew 13. Remember, this 8 parables pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. And this kingdom of heaven had to do with the church, had to do with our hearts, had to do with eternal life.
So if this is the case, can we say the kingdom of heaven also are the churches?
Just talk
about the definition
of a church.
If the definition of church is those who are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, can we say that the church is also the kingdom of heaven? Huh? How can you say yes? But did you say something?
No, it cannot be. Why? Because only those who've been baptized according to the Bible have been purchased by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So,
of course, any other churches
who have
saved one
baptism according to the Bible also can be the kingdom of heaven. But right now,
there's no other churches besides true Jesus Church.
Because that is not
according to the
Bible.
Do you understand?
I mean other churches. Oh, okay. Sorry. So, everybody understand what I'm saying? When we talk about this parable, it's all pertaining to what? Why? Because churches.
But if you already
define that the kingdom of heaven is those, right, is the church,
and eternal life, then the
church are
those who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So because of this, by default, the kingdom of heaven is only pertaining to the true church of God. Okay? Any questions?
First parable. The parable of the sower. So when you think about the parable of the sower,
what is the most
important thing about the parable? Talks to you like, you know the parable, right?
So
what is the most important? What's that? The seed.
Okay. The seed. Of course, the seed, without the seed, nothing can grow, right? Nothing can grow. But that's very important seed, right? What else?
What else?
What else? The sower, okay? The sower.
Okay.
What else? The ground.
Often, right? You see our Lord Jesus Christ.
Huh?
No. Right? The young rich man, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ personally and tell him the way to enter the heavenly kingdom. And on the end, did the rich young man follow him? No. Right. Let's go to John, Book of John. The Book of John, chapter 6. Book of John, chapter 6. Verse 66. John, chapter 6, verse 66.
From that time, many disciples went back and walked
with him no more. So all this time, right? All these people, thousands of them ate the bread, ate the fish, they were full. So because of this, when our Lord Jesus Christ speaks things pertain to the heavenly kingdom, pertain to the thing that is spiritual, they do not understand because of this, they left. They all left him. So that's why Jesus asked his disciple, are you going to leave also? Then Peter answered, we can go. Right? You're the only one that have eternal life. So that's why don't be surprised when we talk to other people and we share the true salvation with them. Don't think they didn't just come to believe just like that. Quite often when I meet people, right, on different places, and when they ask me, what do? I say, I'm a pastor. So when I
tell them I'm a pastor, what is
the thing they do? How is that? What church? Actually, no. That's usually the first thing they do. What do you think they do? Just look at me, right? Just look at me, right? If you were outsiders, right, and you see me, right, and I told them I'm a preacher, what would they do? It's, yes, they preach to me. The first thing they do is they preach to me. Why? Because first, I'm young. I'm Asian. Because of this, they start
preaching to me. It's very interesting.
Right? Even so when I went to visit her, of course, she knows, I was with her since I was a young boy, right? So even though she knows I'm a pastor, so when I go to her house, she's like, yeah, she have a friend. I think, I forgot her name, her friend's name, Gigi. Just say Gigi, something like that, right? Yeah, Gigi's coming over today. She can, teach you things about the Bible and stuff like that, right? And this Gigi, right, she's divorced.
She's
You know, because why? Because, you know, for us, it's very difficult to preach the gospel. If they don't even believe Jesus Christ, who preached the complete truth, if they don't believe you and I when we preach, why take it personal? Right? Why take it personal? Of course, you must preach the truth. That's the main thing, right? So the soul, the seed, the soul, the ground. The ground is very important. It doesn't matter how eloquent we are. It doesn't matter how powerful we are. If the ground is not fertile, there's no way the seed can be able to go in and grow and bear fruit. Peter, right? He preached first sermon, right? How many were baptized? How many? 3,000 people, right? So after he preached, what did the Bible describe? That the word pierced their heart, right? It cut their hearts. Then what about Stephen when he preached? Did the word of God did the same thing? Huh? No. Go to Acts. Anybody find a chapter? Chapter? It's good that I can ask what chapters that so you remember better, right? So next time you won't forget, right? If I just turn to it all the time, then you just very easy to forget. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Acts 7, 54. When they heard these things, right? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. But so now the ground is very important. Why? Because their hearts were not in the right place. Their hearts, they don't want to repent. Their hearts, they don't want to believe. So even if you speak the truth, yes, they cut their heart. But on the end, they end up stoning Stephen to death. So always remember that, right? If you look at the sermon of Stephen, actually, for me, it's much more eloquent than Peter. Much more into depth and detail than Peter. But the one that Peter spoke, they were moved. And their hearts were in the right place. Why? Because all those men are what? Devoted. But actually here, they stoned him to death. So don't be surprised when we try to preach to others. And don't change the seed that you have sown, right? Because sometimes we feel, maybe seed that I'm sown, in other words, the word of God that I'm sharing with them, maybe it's not good enough. Maybe when I pray in the Spirit, it's not good enough. So let me change the way I preach. And then you change the seed. And I would, you, instead of speaking the truth, you try to, you know, water down, right? To make it easier for people. If you do that, actually, there's no way they're going to believe. So that's why we must understand this. So the soul, yes, is important. And the seed is important, but more importantly, that the hearts of the people must be in the right place. Because the word of God is powerful, and it's living. It's like a double-edged sword. But even that is the case. If people's hearts are not in the right place, it would not be able to be effective. But of course, we may say not effective in the sense that the word of God is always effective. But when people's heart not in the right place, I can turn them. Right? I can turn them. So now, let's go back to Matthew 13. Any question, any thought? How many grounds did the soul went out to sow? How many grounds? Four, right? Four grounds. What's the first one? What's that? The first one is what? Wayside, right? Wayside, okay? The second one? Yes, rock, stony place. And the third one? Thorns, right? Thorns. And the fourth one? Good ground. So out of these four grounds, which ground? Can you imagine the seed is so powerful, which is the word of God? And who's the sower here? Who is Yeshua? Like the Son of Man, right? Because it's about the weed and the tears, about the Son of Man, he's a sower. Can you imagine if the seed is the Word of God and the sower is our Lord Jesus Christ himself, but he sowed in four different grounds. But out of these four grounds, only one ground that can bear fruit. This means only 25%, right? It seems that's a failure. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the one was sown the seed. How about nowadays, you and I? Really, if we preach to 100 people, if one person come to get baptized and be strong in the faith, this is a great blessing already. Right? How many percent is that? 1 out of 100. What is that? Yes, 1%, right?
It's good.
It's good. So don't try to have this grandiose kind of idea, right? And we think that when we go out and preach, you know, 5,000 are baptized, right? Just like all those mega churches, they have 60, 70,000. Of course, if we want to water down the gospel, right? If we have bingo and things like that, right? Yeah, many people will come. No, in Dallas, the church we're renting from right now, right? It seems, you know, the church has grown. It's like they started with 40, 60 people. Now they are 300 people, right? 3 or 350, something like that, right? And then it seems so nice and so good, but during the weekdays, they have casino. Yeah, during the weekday, they have casino in the church to raise money and stuff like that, right? Sometimes we feel like, you know, come on, there's nothing wrong with that. But think about it, right? Using the church, which is supposed to be the church of God, for casino night. It's very strange, right? And all the members come to gamble and stuff like that, right? Can you imagine you and I right now, instead of have this seminar, you know, studying the Word of God, praying, we come and play casino, right? What do you guys think? Oh, it's, you know, it's out of our imagination, right? It's out there, right? But many churches are like this. So don't think of the quantity. Think of the quality. So that's why Jesus said to John the Baptist, right? From those who are born of woman, nobody is greater than John the Baptist, right? That's what Jesus said, right? Yes. But the least one here is greater than him. The least one in where? Yes, in the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus talked about, remember John the Baptist, right? He was before our Lord Jesus Christ died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. So salvation, he still belonged to the Old Testament, right, for him. But for those who are born in the kingdom of heaven, the least one in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of heaven are you and I, are greater than John the Baptist. In other words, that the true grace and true salvation has come upon you and I. So yes, other churches, they can have 100,000 people in one church. But I take one of us over 100 of them. Because 100,000 of them, they all die, right? Where are they going to go? Nowhere that we're going to go, I'm telling you. But you must have that kind of faith. Why? Because be born of God, right? In the Bible, how many ways you can be born of? In the book of John. How many ways you can be born of, right? Okay, let's go to the book of John. Chapter 1, book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. Let me read this to you, and then you can tell me how many ways you'd be born of, okay?
Chapter 1, verse 12 and 13.
But as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. How many ways to be born here? Huh? Four ways. Right, sisters? Four ways? Everybody agree? Four ways, right? What is the first way? Blood, yes. What does it mean to be born of blood? What does it mean to be born of blood? To be born of blood is natural, right? Just like man and woman come together, right? Then there's it. It's natural. So in other words, many churches, the reason they build, because it's a natural tendency, they want to build a church to worship God. It's natural. But is it right? When you're talking about things that are spiritual? No. Right? For example, right? Ishmael, when he was born, right? Right? Why do we say this? They continue. So for the second one, what about the second one? The second one. Yes, will of man, right? Second one is the will of man. What does this mean, will of man? So men want to build a church, right? Just like when Ishmael was born, whose will was it for Ishmael to be born? Is it God's will? Whose will was it? What's that? Yes, the will of man. Who is the man? Yes, Abraham, Sarah, right? Right? Okay, that's the will of man. So many churches are, you know, erected, right? Or created, or built the will of man. Then the third one? The second one is the will of the flesh, right? The flesh and blood actually is desire, right? Nor the will of man, that's the third one, right? In other words, if you go to any church's denomination, for example, the church that we rent in Dallas, right? First, let me ask you, who's the founder of our church? Who's the founder? Jesus, right? When they look at the founder of our church, they think we are crazy. Why? Because every church is, right, there's always people's name, who's the founder is. We put Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, right, to have found our church. But every other church, every denomination, is found by man. So that's why, yes, there's four ways to be born, but only one way that is right, to be born of God. How can we be born of God? How? Yes, baptism. That is to be born of God. To be born of God is through His blood. So if this is the case, who is our mother? The church is our mother. And who is our father? Huh? What's that? Who's our father? Jesus Christ, right? Jesus is our father. So you can see, right, when we talk about the true way of salvation, there's no doubt our church is the only one. But we must have faith and study the Bible more, and you will see how profound doctrines that we have and how wonderful it is that God has revealed it to you and I. Yes, every church can proclaim they are the true church of God. But you can see, just Sabbath alone, right? Just think about this. Any church claim they are true. First you say, do you observe Sabbath? And if they say no, how many percentage of churches do not observe Sabbath? Huh? Maybe only 95% of churches, right? And then, how many churches do not observe, even though they observe Sabbath, they observe under the law. This means you have to wear certain clothes, you cannot eat, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, right? Actually, on the end, it's only you and I, pretty much. Right? But for you guys, right, at this age, you must have this kind of faith. If not on the end days, your hearts will become like stone. Your heart become like the wayside. Your heart be full of thorns. Why? Because you'll not be able to bear fruit. Because it's good ground, right? We'll see why. There's a reason. So, let's go back to Matthew 13. Compare Matthew 13, verse 23. Write this down. You don't have to do it right now because we get kneeled down and pray soon. But do this for tomorrow, right? Matthew 20, chapter 13, verse 23, to Mark chapter 4, verse 20. And then to Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Okay. Compare the three good grounds, which is the same parable, in these three books. And you can tell me, right, why the ground is good. Right, why the ground is good. And when the ground is good, what happened, right? Of course, it can bear fruit, but how can they bear fruit? Anybody have any question, any comment? Anybody understand the assignment? Yes? 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 So compare those three verses, and you realize the good ground, the reason to be able to bear fruit abundantly, because the good ground have to do with certain things. So the same thing for you and I. When we come here for the next 2 weeks, we're going to study the Word of God, right, for the whole 2 weeks. Maybe all day, you sit down and you listen. But if our hearts are not in the right place, then there's no point, right, for us to listen to all of it. Why? Because if our heart's not in the right place, it's just like, you know, the seed has been sowed on the wayside. The seed been sowed on stony ground. The seed been sown into the full of thorns, right? Because all those things will happen, then this you cannot bear fruit. So that's why it's so important. Our hearts are so important, right? If you compare the sin of King Saul to the sin of King David, well, what do you think? Who sins more? Who sins more? King David, but how many commandments did he broke when he sinned? How many? You guys counted before? Okay, first, he had to commit adultery, right, with Bathsheba. Then what else did he do? Murder, right? And then what else did he do? Lie, right? What else did he do? What's that? I'm sorry? Yeah, yes, he covered, right? What was he covered, what? Yes, somebody else's wife, right? Then what else did he do? He stole, right? This Bathsheba doesn't belong to him. He stole. Actually, it's almost all the Ten Commandments, you understand? And what did King Saul do? What did he do? Huh? He killed what? He killed who? He killed people. Now, what was his sin? What was his sin? Remember? Offer, right? Sacrifice, which is not supposed to be lawful for him to do because he's a king, not a priest, right? And then look what happened to him and his descendants. Why? Because the hearts. His heart and King David's heart is very different. The same thing for you and I, really. When we study the Word of God, right? We really need to have the right heart. When we come here for this seminar, we must have the right heart. Everything we do, including when we kneel down and pray to God, we must have the right heart. If we kneel down and pray, we don't have the right heart, it's very difficult to reach our way to heaven. And that's why so many of us, we always think, you know, we always talk about praying. But quite often, when we pray, it feels like God is not even with us. Because remember, right, every faucet you see that you turn on water, right, for you to get water, that faucet had to have pipes that connected to the source. So for you and I, yes, we might have that faucet, but the problem is that our faucets are not connected, do not have pipes that connected to the source. So when we turn on the faucet, there's nothing there. That's why for us, when we kneel down and pray, we don't feel God. We don't experience God, right? We don't feel that He's right in front of us. This means our pipes have been broken. That's why when we say, why pray? But if we truly understand how wonderful prayer is, then we understand why we always encourage everyone to pray. Really, when our pipes connected to the source, the minute we turn on the faucet, the water will gush out. This is how we feel when we pray to God. But quite often, our pipes maybe is too short, right, to connect to the source. So that is the problem. So in other words, how can we continually to extend our pipes? By praying more, right? Just like Pastor Chen shared with us this morning, how to build spiritual muscle, right? For you to be buff, right, you need to lift weights. You can't just go home and eat Cheetos, right? And you cannot just lift weights for one day, then you expect the next day, you get up and like Spider-Man, you're all buff, right? A Spider-Man, he's not that buff, but no, he was really skinny. And then in the morning, he got up, he looked in the mirror like, whoa, right? Or whatever it is, right? Oh, no, what's that movie? The Captain America, right? After he gets the injection, he's all buff after that, right? This only is in the movies, right? Real life, we must work hard, right? Spiritual, the same thing too. Don't think for us as ministers, when we pray, it's difficult too. Especially when we get older, my knees kill me every time I pray, really. When I was your age, I kneel down and pray, I'm telling you, my physically I have no pain at all. But now when I kneel down and pray, my back hurts, my knee hurts, right? It's always challenges, right? So now we must strive, right, continually to get ourselves in shape spiritually. And even though it's difficult sometimes, so may God guide us through the afternoon lessons and sharing. And let's kneel down and pray to conclude these morning classes. Let's kneel down and pray together.